And our next item for consideration is the consideration of the probable cause in the matter of James L. Manfrey, complaint number 14-097. This is a probable cause hearing of complaint number 14-097, in re James L. Manfrey. Are either the respondent or the complainant or the counsel in attendance?
Yes, sir. I'm okay. Elizabeth Miller, the advocate for the commission. And okay. Well, the Bob Edwards on behalf of the respondent.
Robert McLeod on behalf of the complainant, Linda Belante, just to my left. Okay.
This probable cause determination is the conclusion of preliminary investigation. In this case, the commission at its December 2014 meeting rejected the pre-probable cause stipulation arrived at by the respondent and the advocate and requested additional investigation. The supplemental report of investigation and amended advocate's recommendation are the products of that initial additional investigation. The respondent and the advocate are permitted to make brief statements in the nature of oral arguments to the commission based on the investigator's report, the advocate's recommendation, the complaint, and the staff recommendations, as well as any written statements submitted by respondent. No testimony or other evidence will be accepted at this hearing. Each party will have 10 minutes. The commission advocate will present her recommendation first. Then we will hear from the respondent. If the advocate requests time for rebuttal, rebuttal will be allowed. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Chair, members, good morning. I would ask to reserve 1 minute for rebuttal, please. I'm Elizabeth Miller, advocate for the Commission on Ethics. Sheriff Manfrey, as you'll recall, served as Flagler County Sheriff from January 2001 until January 2005. He was elected to serve as sheriff again in 2012 and took office on January 8, 2013. Part of Sheriff Manfrey's campaign platform was that he was going to restore high ethics to the sheriff's office. During his campaign, the local newspaper reported questions and answers by Manfrey. In response to the question that was posed to him, why should the people vote for you instead of your opponent? Manfrey responded, the public should vote for me rather than my opponent due to his pattern of unethical behavior over the past 9 months. That has affected his credibility and that of the department. I will return the office to community policing, high ethical standards, and a business approach to budgeting. And I'd like to repeat, he was going to return it to a business approach to budgeting. As an example of the unethical behavior of the incumbent sheriff, Manfrey pointed out that he violated the public trust by accepting a gift of membership in a club. And this is a quote from Sheriff Manfrey. You're not supposed to use your position to get things other people cannot get. He's the sheriff, referring to the incumbent. Ignorance of the law is not a defense. I'd like to point out to the commission that there is no stipulation on the table at this time. Allegation one alleges that Sheriff Manfrey requested and received his paycheck earlier than the pay date. The evidence confirmed this allegation, and even though this is probably not a benefit any employee would receive, or any employee of the sheriff's office could ask for, we don't believe that there's evidence of corrupt intent. Therefore, we would ask that you find no probable cause. Allegation two, the use of the Flagler County Sheriff's Office vehicle. It's alleged that the Sheriff's Office vehicles were used by Sheriff Manfrey for out-of-state personal transportation. That was confirmed in January of 23. He took an unmarked Sheriff's Office Black Fork Crown Victoria to New Orleans, Louisiana. He went to a Florida Sheriff's Association in January of 2013. His wife accompanied him there. From that location, they drove on a vacation to New Orleans. He took a sheriff's office vehicle out of state for personal purposes. In May of 2013, for approximately 4 days, Sheriff Manfrey and his wife drove a sheriff's office vehicle, which was a white Dodge Charger, to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee for a vacation. In his initial interview with the investigator for the commission, Sheriff Manfrey stated that he drove his personal vehicle, a BMW, to Pigeon Forge for their vacation. Then he visited a relative in Charlottesville, Virginia, and returned to Flagler County by way of Pigeon Forge. The commission's investigator delved into the matter. He interviewed several people, local people from Flagler County, also someone in Pigeon Forge who saw Sheriff Manfrey and saw where he stayed and saw the car that he drove. The commission's investigator calculated the mileage for the trip and compared it to the car's odometer readings, which are recorded every time the car is gassed up. Armed with this information, the commission's investigator asked for a second interview with Sheriff Manfrey, who stated to the investigator at that time that it was possible that he used a sheriff's office vehicle for the Pigeon Forge trip, but he cannot remember. He said that he may be confusing the Pigeon Forge trip with a trip he made to Naples around the same time in which he drove his personal vehicle. In August of 2013, Sheriff Manfrey drove a sheriff's office white Dodge Charger to Virginia to visit a relative and or visit colleges for his son. Sheriff Manfrey stated that during this period of time, when he took the trips that I just listed, he was under the impression that there was no problem with taking his sheriff's office vehicle for these personal trips, because they would allow him to return quickly to Flagler County in the event of an emergency. The policy that was in place during Sheriff Manfrey's first term as the sheriff states that members who are assigned an agency vehicle and are scheduled to take annual leave, sick leave, administrative leave, or other leave for 5 working days or more shall return the agency vehicle to the sheriff's office parking lot, lock it, and turn the keys over to an immediate supervisor. The member's division director must approve exceptions. That was the policy instituted by Sheriff Manfrey during his first term as sheriff. There was an intervening sheriff who amended this policy 2 times. When Sheriff Manfrey instituted a policy during his second term, that was done on April 4th, 2014, and it was a stringent policy that in pertinent part said that vehicles will not be taken out of the county or out of state without permission, except as provided by the collective bargaining agreement. Also, he added a provision dealing with sworn executive staff members who are subject to emergency recall, and he provided in this policy that the assigned vehicle could be taken out of the county for, if you're out for a 3-hour emergency recall, excuse me. If you're subject to recall, you may use your assigned vehicle within 3-hour emergency recall from Flagler County. Take it outside of Flagler County, outside for 3 hours. I would submit Pigeon Forge, New Orleans, and Virginia are outside of 3 hours. This was necessary, in the sheriff's opinion, to ensure rapid return to Flagler County. And that was what he explained was his purpose in taking the sheriff's office vehicle. Under Sheriff Staley, who served for a while as Sheriff Manfrey's under sheriff, advised the sheriff to reimburse the office for his personal use of the vehicle for the Virginia trip. At first, Manfrey replied, this is a quote, "I'm not doing that." Upon Manfrey's request, Sheriff Staley called the Florida Sheriff's Association and spoke to an attorney regarding the personal use of the vehicle. Staley.
Ms. Miller, you have under 2 minutes, a minute and 50 seconds.
I would ask that the commission find probable cause that Sheriff Manfrey used his used the sheriff's office vehicle for personal use in violation of the ethics law. Also, members, there is a third allegation, and that's the credit card allegation. I would ask, the credit card allegation, and there's a fourth allegation that the respondent failed to properly report a gift, that being the use of a Pigeon Forge cabin belonging to Under Sheriff Staley. I would ask that you find probable cause on that. Going back to the previous allegation that there was misuse of the credit card for personal items such as alcohol and paying for expenses, meals of other people, I would ask that you find probable cause on that. And to quote what Sheriff Manfrey's attorney stated the last, at the December 12th meeting, this is a quote, Sheriff Manfrey always intended to make the reimbursement for whatever charges were inappropriate, which leads me to believe he understood what charges were inappropriate, and we are asking that you find probable cause for those, for that allegation as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Ms. Edwards.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chairman Weston, commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this morning on behalf of the respondent, Sheriff James Manfrey. There are a few things that I'd like to point out. Ms. Miller did take you through some of the facts of the case, and I don't believe that many of the facts are really in dispute for the most part. We do question some of the allegations with regard to some of the counts, but we'll talk about that as we go along. One of the issues that the respondent has consistently raised throughout this proceeding is the fact that in order for the commission to find some sort of violation, and I understand that we're only at the probable cause state at this point, but the commission must find that there was a corrupt intent to violate the policy. That corrupt intent has to be based on reasonable knowledge that the respondent was engaging in activity that would violate the ethics law. The facts that are presented and the information that has been presented simply don't reach that level. For example, Ms. Miller has just walked through several trips that Sheriff Manfrey took as a sheriff of Flagler County, trips that he took away from Flagler County. The sheriff is a constitutional officer. He is on duty 365 days of the year, 24 hours a day. There is never a time when he can say, I'm not the sheriff of Flagler County and I'm not on duty. The reasons that he's given for why he has taken those vehicles on trips that involve personal travel has been so that he can return to Flagler County in a speedy manner. Now, I don't expect that the sheriff believes that he's going to be driving through two or three states with lights and staff and siren blaring or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is, it's easier to drive quickly. And again, he does observe the traffic laws as best he can, but trying to get back to Flagler County to attend to the business of Flagler County. The advocate, North Commission, has brought forth no law, policy, rule, or regulation that the sheriff has violated. The policies that Ms. Miller just referenced are policies first that Sheriff Manfrey promulgated when he was a sheriff from 2001 to 2005. The policy was modified twice in the interim prior to his taking office again, and the advocate presented no information that what he did under those policies or anything else was a violation of that policy. The policy that you referenced made no mention of the sheriff's actions. It addressed the actions of those persons who, excuse me, those persons who basically work shift work and who have a set time for when they're on duty and a set time for when they're off duty. No such instance applies to the sheriff. And so even though the advocate has not presented any law, policy, rule, or regulation that addresses the issue that she claims has been violated, the respondent, in responding to the amended recommendation of the advocate, pointed out an attorney general's opinion, which gives credence to the arguments that he's made, that if he is an officer who has responsibility to be on duty all of the time, that it's okay to use the vehicle for personal purposes, because again, he is on duty all of the time. The sheriff changed the policy, as the advocate mentioned, changed the policy in 2014 in response to the public's response, if you will, to finding out that he had taken the vehicle outside of Flagler County. He tightened the policy, made the policy applicable to himself. Before, the policy was not specifically applicable to the sheriff. Pardon me. So I ask that, excuse me, because there has been no evidence or no policy filed, no policy rule or regulation that's been brought forth that the sheriff has violated or might have been violated, that you find no probable cause on the allegation with regard to the use of his vehicle. The Blackburn case is clear that the ethics law itself, the statute itself, is not sufficient notice to a person that the statute applies to, that there has to be more that puts the person on notice. The policies of the sheriff's office didn't do that. I will move to the credit card issue. This is an interesting one. All of the allegations for discount and many of the others took place within the first 8 months of the sheriff's tenure after he was elected in 2012. He came into office and intended to start doing the work of the sheriff, the law enforcement issues. And you know, Ms. Miller indicated that he intended to return to budget or to business-based budgeting. Well, he depended upon the complainant, who at that time was the director of business services, to provide guidance on all of the financial issues. The sheriff, unfortunately, excuse me, had not taken the time to read point by point each of the policies that were in place at the time. So he heavily depended upon the complainant to provide guidance, and unfortunately didn't receive the specific guidance that he thought that he should have. The complainant was aware of the trips that he took, the complainant was aware of the travel that he was making, and yet no one came to him to give him any information with regard to what was appropriate use of the agency credit card. One of the issues that I want to point out to the commission is that the advocate continues to reference this accounting department procedure as a policy of the sheriff's office. It simply is not. The complainant herself says that it has never been an official policy of the Flagler County Sheriff's Office. And therefore, it's hard to try to make this document an internal accounting procedures document to be a policy that the sheriff has violated. It's just simply not true. That document, and for the sheriff to remember a document that he might have reviewed in or around 2001, for him to remember that document some 12 years later, by the time we get to 2013, is just unreasonable. The other issue with regard to the credit card and reasonable notice, the advocate has tried to and came out as a part of the supplemental investigation that he engaged in the same conduct in his first term. Well, I think that despite that allegation made by the complainant and was a point of consideration at the December meeting, I think that was borne out to be not correct information by the supplemental investigation. As a matter of fact, the person that the complainant says told her this information would not testify that he had any conversation with the sheriff about the use of the credit card during the first term.
You have less than about 1 minute 45 seconds.
Yes, sir. I'm watching.
You said, I didn't.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Gotcha.
This is a familiar place. I'm watching the clock. So I don't believe that there, again, has been any evidence brought forth in the advocate's recommendation that the sheriff has violated a rule, policy, regulation, or policy that would subject him to an ethics violation. Therefore, I ask the commission to not find probable cause on the issue of the improper credit card use. The last issue is the use of the Pigeon Forge cabin and the late disclosure of it. One of the issues, and I'll rely on the language that the advocate placed in her recommendation, and that is the definition of a residence. The sheriff believed that the property owned by under Sheriff Staley was a private residence. And I think the definition that the advocate placed in her recommendation is that a person can have more than one residence. The sheriff did make a late disclosure, but did disclose that information. Again, it wasn't even clear that it had to be disclosed because of the value of it. Because of the ambiguity in the definition of a residence, the sheriff asked that the commission not find probable cause on the issue with regard to the use of the cabin in Pigeon Forge. I would also ask the commission, if you would, to consider the counts one by one rather than consider them as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. Are there any questions of the commissioners of Ms. Edwards, by the way?
I may have one, but I would like to hear the
rebuttal
and then okay.
Thank you. Ms. Miller, every minute.
Thank you, members. Madam Chair. Corrupt intent that he used the vehicle for personal use when he shouldn't have. Why wasn't he forthcoming with the use of the vehicle? He could not remember what vehicle he had used just months ago when in fact he did have a fender bender in that vehicle, and he could not remember months ago, but yet he adamantly denied using the sheriff's office credit card 9 years earlier when confronted with that allegation that he had used the credit card to buy meals for, I believe it was 12 other people. 9 years ago, the sheriff adamantly denied that. He could remember that, but he couldn't remember what vehicle he used just months earlier in which he was in an accident. The facts defy the sheriff's defense that he needed the vehicle to return back to Flagler County quickly, expeditiously. Some trips, and he admitted some trips, plural, he did not use a county vehicle. He used his personal vehicle. Corrupt intent about credit card use. If there was no policy, do you really need a policy to show that you shouldn't use alcohol, you shouldn't buy alcohol and meals for non-employees with the county's credit card? He said that no instance, or Ms. Bond said that no instance applies to the sheriff. Some things don't apply to the sheriff, but yet I would remind you that when the sheriff campaigned, he said that the sheriff should not receive other things that benefit him that other people cannot get. He wanted a business-based budgeting. I submit to you that alcohol and meals would not conform to a business-based budgeting plan for the sheriff's office. In fact, he used his credit card after he had had ethics training and after he was asked to reimburse these inappropriate expenses. He used it here in Tallahassee to buy alcohol and to buy a meal for his wife, or plural, meals for his wife, when he was on notice. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Now we have the opportunity of the commissioners to ask questions of the advocates. Are there questions?
Susie had a question.
Of Ms. Bond Edwards, please. Ms. Edwards, the 112.3.1.3.6 does speak to corrupt use, but the last part of the paragraph 6 says to secure a special privilege, benefit, or exemption for himself, herself, or others. My reaction to this is that buying meals for his spouse, for some reason, whether I'm right or wrong, buying alcohol piece doesn't bother me, but when he purchases the meals for himself, for someone beyond himself, or an officer with his agency, I find most troubling. What would his response be, or your response be, on his behalf to the issue that he did secure a special privilege benefit for himself or others?
Commissioner Maurer, the sheriff did not believe that he was obtaining a special benefit for himself. His understanding was that when he traveled, he was entitled to a per diem. His understanding was that he would put everything on the agency credit card. When he returned, the per diem would be calculated, and he would make reimbursement for whatever was not covered by the per diem. His intent was never to take that benefit for himself. At any time, if he'd been asked to reimburse for that, he would have. When the policy was changed in 2014, there were some charges that the accounting department said were inappropriate. He reimbursed for those charges. So the intent was never to receive the benefit. The intent was to pay the agency or to reimburse or to receive the per diem for whatever he was entitled to. That was never the intent. And he's always said that.
Under the facts that we have, he only made that reimbursement after he was requested to attend a meeting with the undersheriff, the auditor, and the attorney for the sheriff's office, correct?
He never knew he had to.
Then how do you reconcile that with he thought he only had a per diem only for himself that he could use with the sheriff's credit card, and that it would get reconciled after each trip or after each expense, but then he didn't think he had to pay it at all? It just seems to me like the testimony is inconsistent.
Well, whenever he would travel, when he returned, he would provide whatever receipts he had from the trip to his assistant, who would turn them in to the accounting department. He never received any feedback that what he provided was inappropriate, never received any feedback that he owed any more money. And so his assumption was that the per diem covered whatever the charges were on the car.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. I appreciate you being here this morning.
Okay. Thank you.
First, Commissioner Freeman, then okay. Commissioner Kaluuya.
Ms. Edwards, as I understand it, Sheriff Mantry has been elected sheriff twice.
Yes, sir.
In other words, the people of Flagler County have twice entrusted him the constitutional office of sheriff.
Yes, sir.
And what we're examining today, what this commission is examining today, is a request that we set aside the wishes of the voters in Flagler County and somehow administer a veto on his election and his service. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
I thought I understood.
The sheriff, again, responds to the needs of the public. When they mentioned when they said that they've done something or that they believed was inconsistent with what they expected, he made a change. He's a politician, so is extremely sensitive to the needs and the desires of the public that he represents or that he's responsible for protecting.
Commissioner Carlucci.
Well, I'll yield to Commissioner Maurer, then maybe I'll go after that.
Okay.
Addressing Commissioner Freeman's point, I think that what we have here is an instance where he got caught, and it was in the press, and basically he was exposed to using funds and vehicles for inappropriate purposes. He then went and changed policy. He wasn't in the position at that time to have a removal from office. So I think that as the citizens of his jurisdiction have found him to be inappropriate in his conduct, he has changed an internal policy. That doesn't mean that because they elected him, they just think all this is okay, in my opinion. I don't think the conclusion to be drawn is an appropriate one. Yes, ma'am.
May I address your comment, Commissioner Mauer?
Certainly.
When the sheriff took that very first trip in January, the complainant was aware of the trip. The undersheriff was aware of the trip. No one, neither of them, made any mention to the sheriff, I don't think you ought to do this. And he depended on them. Undersheriff Staley is a 30-plus year law enforcement officer. And if in his opinion, if in his belief, the sheriff should have done something else after that very first trip, it could have been avoided. The rest of it could have been avoided. If the complainant, who admits that she knew about the trip, would have said, "Sheriff, you might want to think about how you're using your vehicle. It's not right. Did you reimburse the agency for the New Orleans trip?" Anything. But neither of them said nothing. Neither of them, as a matter of fact, neither of them said anything until, again, after those first 8 months in office. Neither of them.
So you're suggesting that the undersheriff should police the sheriff?
No, ma'am. Oh, no. Not at all. But when you are a manager or an executive of any organization, you do depend upon the recommendations and the advice of those who perhaps may have more experience in a particular area. The sheriff, again, had been out of office for 8 years. The complainant had remained in office the entire time that he was gone. He depended on them. It would be wonderful if each of us knew every single thing and we were perfect in our jobs in every single way, but unfortunately, we're not. And again, the sheriff did not believe that he was doing anything wrong. But when someone else called his attention to his actions, he was responsive to it, and he made changes as a result of it. None of the prior sheriffs had seen any need to institute a policy that strictly. So whatever actions the prior sheriff had taken, no one questioned it. We don't know what those actions were, but no one questioned it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Carlucci.
Thank you, through the chair. I'm not sure if this is for you or for our advocate, Ms. Miller, but did he use the credit card when he was on vacation?
I don't believe that that's part of the allegation. I believe that the credit card use was for travel during the Sheriff's Association conferences.
Well, you believe that?
Yes, that's correct. But he did use the credit card for gas.
Was it on vacation?
When he was on vacation, yes.
I don't believe that that's correct. But, the fact of it, I do not believe that there are credit card bills.
What say the investigator?
I don't recall seeing any credit card purchases for gas on his county credit card.
Were there any uses of the credit card while on vacation?
Not that I'm aware.
Were there any personal uses of the credit card while on duty?
Well, that's what's discussed in the ROIs we're talking about here.
I understand, but I was trying to keep up with it all, and I'll just say this about that. I own a business, and in my wallet, I have a business debit card and I have a personal debit card. And in my wallet, I have a business credit card and I have a personal credit card. And because I have great respect for my friends at the Internal Revenue Service, I try to make sure that when I'm using my card for the right purposes, for accounting, to who I am as a person, and to my family, and to my fellow man. So the questions surrounding, at the very least, raise red flags about why the credit card was used, how it was used, and so forth. The other question is, how much faster can he get back from Pigeon Forge in a Charger or in a Crown Victoria from New Orleans to the job rather than in a police unmarked vehicle?
He does drive an unmarked vehicle.
No, but he drove, you said that he drove the police vehicle because he could get back quicker in case there was an emergency. And I'm just wondering how much faster can he drive in an unmarked vehicle than he can in just his regular personal car, which I think was a BMW, which is probably got some ability to roll down the highway at a pretty good rate of speed. So what where does that fit into the argument of him having to get back quicker? And furthermore, there's the position of undersheriff for a reason, because in the absence of the sheriff, the undersheriff is there to take reins of an emergency until the sheriff can get back. And if it's truly an emergency, park the car at the airport and take a plane back. These are just things that to me sounds like saving mileage on his personal car might have been a benefit to him, because Pigeon Forge is a pretty good ways off, as is New Orleans. And so I'm having a hard time understanding, you know, why it was so important, and he couldn't see, you know, why it would be inappropriate for him to take a sheriff's office car on a personal vacation and to use the excuse, well, I can get back quicker in that car, although you were made reference that he obeys the speed limit.
I'd like to address your points, if I may, Commissioner Ferrucci, with regard to the first issue that you addressed, which was the use of the credit card. And you also mentioned that you owned a business. And I suspect that you either employ or contract with an accountant or have an accountant on your staff or some accounting service. If there is some point along the way that you make an error, you do something that you should not do, I suspect that accountant would bring it to your attention and advise you that you ought to do X, Y, or Z, or do it in a different way. That's what the sheriff expected from his staff.
May I reply to that?
Yes, sir.
I don't claim to be perfect, but most of my errors that my CPA brings to my attention are my mathematical errors. I pretty much know what's business and what's not. And I think that would be the same case, particularly for somebody who's at the head of law enforcement.
I'm sorry.
When you, would you come through the chair so I can keep track of what's going on?
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Mr. Chairperson.
So there was a...
That's all I've got. I just want to make some observations, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Akers has a question.
Actually, mine's for the advocate, Ms. Miller.
Okay, any other questions for the respondent's attorney? I do have one question. Looking through the information for the credit card use, if not mistaken, he did use it for something in January of 2014, is that right? He did use the credit card for personal use in January of 2014? After the policy was changed?
I'm not familiar with the January incident.
I'll find it and I'll just get back to
you. And the policy did not change until April of 2014. But yeah, I'm not aware of the January 14.
Oh, I'm sorry. It on January the 10th, 2014, respondent signed a Journal Order 152 that delineated the credit card use. Okay. And then it was May 14, 2014, that he actually used the credit card for his personal use.
Your Honor, I'm sorry.
Thank you for the observation.
Commissioner Weston, Mr. Chairperson, I do apologize. At best, it was a mix-up at the hotel. The sheriff is clear.
All right. The mix-up at the hotel, but according to everything I've read, there were two different dates that he had called the hotel subsequent to use his private card as opposed to using his private card in the first instance. That's what I read.
Well, my understanding is that reservations were made for him to stay at the hotel, and the reservations for the room and tax was placed on the agency credit card. When he arrived at the hotel, as is most hotels' practice, he was asked for a credit card that they could use for incidentals. He gave them his personal credit card to use. When he checked out, and the exhibit that you had, and when he checked out of the hotel, there is a receipt that shows that only room and tax was charged to the agency credit card. Subsequent to that, and again, the sheriff believes that he saw, and he checked online, and he could see that his personal credit card had been charged, thought nothing of it, especially in light of the fact that he got a receipt when he checked out that only showed room and tax. When the credit card bill came in, it showed additional meals that had been charged. And so again, you know, he believed that when he gave them that credit card that they swiped when he first arrived, that anything that he charged would be charged to that card and not to the card for the room and tax.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
And there was a question of the advocate? Yes. Ms. Miller?
I'm just curious, in your recommended report on page 3, the second paragraph in the analysis, you probably don't even need to look at it.
Okay.
You'll recall that it's a quote from the Palm Coast Observer,
oh,
and it's some questions and answers. And I won't restate it here, but it's a question is, why should the people vote for you instead of your opponent? And then it's the respondent's answer. I'm just curious what the relevance of that quote is in this report and what it has to do with the actual charges that are made against him.
I believe that the relevance is that this was the platform that Manfrey took to run for sheriff, to be elected for sheriff. The previous sheriff or the incumbent sheriff was unethical. I'm going to be ethical. And there is no, he's the sheriff. It's implied he should know, and that was the quote. He's the sheriff. Also, he said that ignorance of the law is not a defense. I would like to point out that Mr. Manfrey is an attorney. But I believe it's important to show that he went in with intentions to be ethical, and within 1 year, he had violated the code of ethics, in the advocate's opinion, violated the code of ethics on a number of occasions, 4 different statutes.
I'm probably the only one that has a concern about it. It's something about the, you know, his pre-election speeches to me aren't so relevant to his actions in office, although I would, if I was running against him, make a lot of it. I'm just saying, as a matter of law, that doesn't impact me personally.
Any other questions of the advocate?
If I could make one observation to about that, Mr. Chair.
Well, we'll get to that in just a moment.
Okay.
In our discussion. Any other questions of the advocate? Seeing none. Is there a particular motion that anyone would like to raise? Yes, Ms. Robeson?
I'd like to move that we accept the advocate's recommendation on probable cause. I think the discussion has made it clear that there's enough here for probable cause determination, so that count 1, there's no probable cause, and counts 2, 3, and 4, the recommendation was for probable cause, and I move that we accept the recommendation as written.
Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion that's been made and seconded to accept or adopt the recommendation as recommended by the advocate. Is there discussion?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Mr. Manfrey is a constitutional officer, which is elected by the voters of Flagler County. Those voters have twice elected him to the position of sheriff. I think if you explained all of the things that have come out here this morning to the average voter of the Flagler County, Sheriff Manfrey would be reelected. I think in 2016 he's going to run for reelection, and I think that the citizens of Flagler County are going to elect him. None of the things that were discussed this morning rise to the level of trying to veto the decision of the voters of Flagler County to entrust Mr. Manfrey with the office of sheriff. And none of us up here are voters in Flagler County. And for us to set aside the wishes of the voters of Flagler County are based upon the things that we've discussed this morning, I think, is irresponsible.
Commissioner? Mr. Carlucci, Commissioner Carlucci.
Well, I just think that really how the voters voted is up to them. But I don't think our duty is to who gets the majority of votes. I think it's to the public as a whole. I mean, we've been given this book for a reason. And to go back to the question that Commissioner Ankers rose about what was the purpose of bringing up his comments when he was running for office. Well, he was setting a benchmark. He was setting a benchmark for that office of the sheriff, and that benchmark got broke. Now, he got reelected, you know. There's a lot of people get reelected but we're not unelecting him. We're just saying that he violated some codes in this manual. And so, and if he gets reelected again by the people, good for him. I don't harbor any ill feeling. I just have to make a decision based on the facts. And I think the facts point that there's violations in this little yellow Bible, as Mr. Anderson called it to me one time. And so I support the motion.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of adopting the advocate's recommendation, accepting the advocate's recommendation, has been motioned and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
No.
The ayes have it.